companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message. And mashallah, today we are going to be discussing the blessed characteristics of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So do stay tuned for this, inshallah. But before we dive deep into our topic of discussion, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that person who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. So that is all collectively. وَتَلَفِعُ عَشْتَ الْمُحَبَّةِ and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. First and foremost, we thank our most merciful Creator, our most forgiving Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ala kulli hal, that no matter what we go through in life, we should always be thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will grant us success, salvation in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well, inshaAllah. So yes, we are going to be discussing the beautiful and blessed characteristics of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. This is the blessed month of Muharram al-Haram, and as I've mentioned, that we do recall the incident of Karbala, we recall the accounts of the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his family, his friends, and his companions. In these days, we should educate ourselves regarding the seerah, the life of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And today, mashallah, we are going to look at the beautiful and blessed characteristics that Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu possessed. Alhamdulillah. Before that, I just want to mention to you a beautiful narration wherein it's mentioned that once it was the time for Salatul Asr, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the masjid. The Iqamah was called, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began leading the salah. He had already performed the 3 rak'at, and as he reached the 4th rak'at, the beloved grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, arrived, and both were in the early childhood at the time. Now, look at the love, subhanAllah, the love between the grandfather and his grandsons. Both grandsons, they climbed onto the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued the salah as usual, and finally, the 4th rak'at was completed. He performed the salam and seated both grandsons in front of him. Then Sayyidina Imam Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaped towards his grandfather, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked him up, seated Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu on his right shoulder, and Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu on his left shoulder. SubhanAllah, the views of Madani Channel, this, the blessed hadith, it continues further, right? After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the virtues of both of them. But before we hear the rest of the hadith, I mean, just imagine what a beautiful and magnificent scene this must have been. Which place was it? The second most excellent masjid in the world, Al-Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. What was the time? The time immediately following the Asr Salah, which is of the greatest importance. who was sitting before them, the most excellent people of the most excellent ummah, the noble companions, alayhim ridwan, the ashab. Who was the speaker? The most excellent and exalted of all creation, the imam of all the prophets, alayhim salatu wasalam, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, how beautiful, how virtuous, how supreme, and how unique that gathering was. What is the topic of this grand and blessed congregation? The virtues of Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a high maqam. What a high status these two noble grandsons hold. Now the hadith goes further. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still had both of them seated on his shoulders. And in this state, he addressed the ashab alayhim ridwan and said, O people, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ النَّاسِ جَدًّا وَجَدَّةً. Shall I not tell you about those whose maternal grandfather and maternal grandmother are better than the maternal grandfather and grandmother of all other people? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ النَّاسِ عَمَّا وَعَمَّةً. And shall I not tell you about those whose paternal uncle and paternal aunt are better than the paternal uncle and paternal aunt of all other people? And it was further on, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ النَّاسِ خَالًا وَخَالَةً. Shall I not tell you about those whose maternal uncle and maternal aunt are better than the maternal uncle and maternal aunt of all other people? أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ النَّاسِ أَبًّا وَأُمًّا. Shall I not tell you about those whose father and mother are the most excellent of all? The Prophet ﷺ continued to ask these questions. And then Nabi ﷺ himself began to give the answers. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, هُمَا الْحَسَنْ وَالْحُسَيْنِ. Subhanallah, that, oh people, listen, the fortunate ones I'm speaking of are none other than Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who are currently sitting on my shoulders and whom you are beholding. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued his discourse and he said, their maternal grandfather is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their maternal grandmother is Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Their mother is Sayyida Fatimah Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their father is Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Their paternal uncle is Sayyidina Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Their paternal aunt is Ummihani bint Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Their maternal uncle is Sayyidina Qasim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their maternal aunts are Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Ruqayya, and Sayyida Ummi Kulthum radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna, the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is continuing his speech and he said, O people, listen, their maternal grandfather and grandmother are destined for paradise. Their father and mother are destined for paradise. Their paternal uncle is destined for paradise. Their paternal aunt is destined for paradise. Their maternal uncle and aunts are destined for paradise. And both of these two are destined for Jannah. And whoever loves them is also destined for Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith and narration of Yusuf Madani Sharam. Now we have heard this hadith and at the end of it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. But whoever loves Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he too is destined for Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that whoever loves us for the sake of the world, then indeed, worldly people love both the righteous and the wicked. However, the one who loves us solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he and we will be together on the day of Qiyamah like this. And saying this, he joined his index finger and middle finger. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we have heard some virtues of Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the blessings of having love for him. And of course, Love requires obedience, right? Love devoid of obedience is the weakest type of love. Alhamdulillah, we love Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we need to also adopt his beautiful teachings, adopt his beautiful practices in our life as well, and follow in his footsteps, inshallah. So now, alhamdulillah, let's go through some of his beautiful and blessed characteristics. And, you know, a beautiful aspect of the blessed life of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that he remained an adherent of Sharia at every moment. He never, not for a single second or a fraction of a second, deviated from the Sharia. Right? Like it's mentioned by Sayyidina Ibn Abi Layla rahimahullah, that says on the plains of Karbala, when Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu became certain that the appointed time had come and martyrdom was imminent, right? He said, bring me a thick garment. Right? Now listen carefully to why he is asking for this cloth. He said, bring me a thick garment. I will wear this beneath my clothes so that when I fall to the ground after being martyred, my sitr may not be exposed. So the cloth was presented to him and he wrapped it under the clothes he was wearing. Subhanallah. I mean, look at the situation. He is at the plains of Karbala and an army of 22,000 stands before him. 72 of his companions have already been martyred. He has pulled the tyrant's arrow from the throat of Sayyidina Ali Asghar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with his own hands. Water has been cut off for 3 days. His throat is parched. He is certain that the moment of martyrdom is very, very close. And after the soul departs, a person is no longer accountable. But the one who seeks the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires nothing but that pleasure. No time, at no moment, in no condition, and in no difficulty does he step back from seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always seeking ways to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the circumstances in which Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in. Yet, what is his concern? And when I martyr, when I fall to the ground, what if my sitr is exposed at that moment? Even in such difficult circumstances, his concern is adherence to the Sharia. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And fortunately, the views of Madani Sharam, the situation today has declined. Some people claim to be lovers of Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, yet the state is such that they do not perform a single salah. They claim to have love for Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, yet they act against the Sharia. They make a mockery of the Sharia by claiming that we have achieved a high status. You know, they claim to love Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, yet they keep long woman like hair against, which is against the Sharia. You know, there is a claim belong to Karbala, yet there is engagement in music and dancing contrary to the Sharia. Use of intoxicants, a total disregard for modesty, and they remain involved in sins all the time. Now ask, we have to ask ourselves the question, is this Husayniyat? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu is he who, even in the midst of the battle in the plains of Karbala, under the shadow of swords, offered the Dhuhr Salah in Jama'ah. Subhanallah. Even in the plains of Karbala, he observed every single commandment of the Sharia. He sacrificed his head, but did not allow any compromise in the Sharia. Even after martyrdom, subhanAllah, his blessed head was, these Yazidis put his blessed head on a spear, Allahu Akbar. And with all of that, he was reciting the Holy Quran. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Now remember, Deeds of Madani Sharam, that we are bound by Sharia at every moment. Sharia has made Salah obligatory, so we must perform it. Sharia has made fasting obligatory, so we must keep fast. Sharia has made veiling obligatory, so we must encourage our mothers, sisters and daughters to observe it as well. Sharia has declared riba, interest, haram, so we must avoid it. Sharia has declared all kinds of intoxicants haram, so we must abstain from them. Sharia has declared alcohol haram to consume, so we must avoid it. Sharia has declared short measuring and weighing as haram, so we must strictly avoid it. So in short, views of Mother Nature, we see we are bound to perform every act that Sharia has commanded us to do. And we must refrain from every act that Sharia has forbidden us from doing. Even if the world turns upside down, not a single step of ours should go outside the boundaries of Sharia. Our temperament, our nature, our thoughts, our desires, our conduct, our earnings and our diet, everything must be compliant with the Sharia. We need and we must live our lives while adhering to the Sharia. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. That none from among you can be a perfect believer until his desires become in line with the religion I have brought. Allahu Akbar. This is our standard. We are bound only by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we have heard the narration. Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu made arrangements to properly cover himself even in the midst of battle. At the time nearing his martyrdom, he was concerned that when he attained martyrdom and fell from his horse after being wounded, there should be no lack of modesty. So he had already made arrangements for it. Now there is a lesson in this for those who do not, you know, do parada, for those who do not observe veiling. Mothers, sisters and daughters are present in the house, but they wear immodest clothing. Similarly, those who wear pants and shirt and wear short tops, and when they bend, sit or prostrate, a portion of their back, you know, aligned below the navel is exposed. This is also included in the sitar, and covering it is obligatory. Nowadays people wear shorts and their knees and thighs are visible. This is also an act of immodesty. And there are, you know, many sports in which shorts are worn. Either players play while wearing them and people enjoy watching them play. The players are committing an act of immodesty and the spectators are committing the sin of looking at something unlawful. Now, avoiding this is obligatory, both looking at the unlawful and immodesty, right? Not covering the parts that must be covered are major sins. So this is something that we need to abstain from these of Mother Nature. We need at all costs to always be steadfast on the Sharia. It is a guideline, right? It is the way of life. It is the code of life. You know, subhanAllah, the Sharia actually saves you and I from trouble, from dangers. It saves you and I from harming ourselves and from harming others as well. You know, so the Sharia is there and there is so much of wisdom in it that it benefits us. Yes, the Sharia, it benefits us. It grants us success, salvation, goodness in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well. So we need to be of people, you know, who are adherent and who follow the Sharia. So this was a very beautiful and blessed characteristic of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he would always adhere to the Sharia. Another beautiful aspect that we see in the life of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu is his utmost love for the Holy Quran. He would recite the Holy Quran, understand it, act upon it, and teach it to others as well. SubhanAllah mentions in relation to when Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu was traveling towards Karbala, this person says that I saw tents pitched up in a very quiet area. And I was surprised and asked someone, whose tents are these? The person replied that these belong to Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he had stopped there on the way to Karbala. So this person says that I moved forward to have the honor of meeting Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, as I reached the tent, I saw that Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was reading the Holy Quran, reciting the Quran, and tears were flowing from his eyes. Allahu Akbar. Look at his maqam, look at his status, that he would recite the Holy Quran, right, with so much of passion, that tenderness would fill his heart. And he was overcome with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now his tongue would be occupied with recitation, and tears would be flowing from his eyes out of love and fear. Definitely, reciting the Holy Quran and listening to its recitation is a great honor, right? And in fact, it's an action of so much of thawab and virtue. If during the recitation or while listening to the recitation of the Holy Quran, a state of spiritual ecstasy takes over, and the heart overflows with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one feels, you know, a sense of restlessness, one experiences trembling from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tears start to flow from the eyes, then mashallah, such recitation has a truly magnificent status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the attributes of his righteous servants in the Holy Quran, in which is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِهًا مَثَانِي تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah sent down the best book, similar and repeatedly recited. The skins of those who fear their Rabb tremble due to it. Then their skins and their hearts soften for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's narrated that the state of the ashab, of the best companions alayhim ridwan, was such that when the Holy Quran was recited before them, their eyes would overflow with tears and they would actually, you know, have goosebumps. Allahu Akbar. Unfortunately, today we see the connection of Muslims with the Holy Quran is becoming weak. Right? Firstly, if you look at it realistically, that the number of those who recite it is small, right? And even among those who attain the privilege of reciting the Holy Quran, the number of those who weep, you know, in awe of it is extremely small. Allahu Akbar. So this is something that we really, really need to think about it for each other, right? And you see, one was his passion and his love for the Holy Quran. That was one, right? Another beautiful characteristic we see is that Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not just recite the Quran. Together with reciting the Holy Quran, he also acted upon it. Acted upon the commandments and teachings of the Holy Quran. Like a narration is mentioned, that Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a female slave. And in the previous eras, there were male and female slaves who were brought with money. Now, of course, details regarding when this custom began and what teaching Islam provided regarding them and how it described the virtues of freeing slaves, these are separate topics. So anyway, Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a female slave. One day, she came to him and offered salam in a very beautiful manner. So Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied to the salam and immediately said, "Anti hurratu li wajhillah." Subhanallah, that you are free for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a person that was sitting nearby was surprised at this. And he said that she is a slave. She came to you, she only offered salam, and you have set her free. What's the reason? What's the wisdom behind this? SubhanAllah, Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave such a beautiful response. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. And when you are greeted with a greeting of peace, then reply with a better greeting or say the same. Indeed, Allah takes account of everything. Now in this verse, Allah Ta'ala has commanded us that when you are greeted with a greeting of peace, then reply with a better greeting. Now, the way in which she offered the greeting was so beautiful. Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying that the way in which she offered the salam was so beautiful that it was my duty to respond in an even better manner. However, a better response was not possible merely through words. So, she was to set her free. Allahu Akbar. What a great status. Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu holds. I mean, look at the perfection of his insight into the Holy Quran. Now it is from his scholarly prowess that he would recite Quranic verses in every situation, right? He would advise through Quranic verses. Now let us reflect, how many verses do we remember in our daily affairs? How often do we recall a verse? Now there are more than 6,000 verses in the Holy Quran. We all should contemplate how many of the 6,000 approximately verses we actually act. This is of course a difficult task, right? And the verses are not even memorized, and their translation and commentary are unknown, meaning a person doesn't know them. Then how would a person act upon them? So, alhamdulillah, we are Muslims. For a Muslim, the most important book is the Holy Quran. There can be no other option on this, but unfortunately today, let alone understanding the Holy Quran, most Muslims cannot even recite it with proper articulation, right? There are not just thousands, but millions who may have studied it, but they do not read it with correct tajweed, makharij. They pronounce ha as ha, right? Qaf as qaf, vice versa. And they commit many such mistakes that actually alter and change the meaning. And many people do not even know how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas correctly. When they recite incorrectly and the meaning changes, then reciting in this manner makes the Salah invalid. So what should we do? We need to learn how to recite the Holy Quran. Make an attempt. Subhanallah, Dawat-e-Islam, alhamdulillah, offers Madrasatul Madina for kids. Alhamdulillah. Dawat-e-Islami, subhanAllah, offers hifz classes. Dawat-e-Islami, subhanAllah, offers madrasa for adults. Madrasatul Madina for Balighan. You know, those adults who perhaps may feel shy in learning how to recite the Holy Quran. So they don't need to feel shy anymore. At the many, many marakis of Dawat-e-Islami around the world, classes are held for adults. You know, normally the time is here, it's after Salatul Isha, for around 15 to 20 minutes, in which adults learn how to recite the Holy Quran. They learn tajweed, you know, they learn makharij, subhanAllah, and they make in that attempt. That's the most important thing, is to make an attempt, not to just sit back and say, it is what it is, and I don't have the time anymore. No, we have to make the time, because if the Quran recitation is not correct, which is fard, which is a fard in Salah, then how will the Salah be valid? So we really, really need to learn how to recite the Holy Quran and teach it to our children as well, because they are the future leaders of tomorrow, and they should know how to recite the Holy Quran. And together with that being said, the Yusuf Madani Shalom, now reciting the Quran brings barakah in your life. Yes, make it a habit, make it a routine. Not only in the month of Ramadan, where mashallah everyone is so, you know, rejuvenated, everyone is so pumped up that they would wake up for Sahri, they would recite the Holy Quran throughout the day, they would make time to recite the Holy Quran while fasting as well, mashallah, and together with that working, right? And then at night also, mashallah, they would recite the Holy Quran. So in Ramadan, we see that at the time of Sahri, people are reciting the Holy Quran, they are going to work, they are fasting. Still, they're making time in between to recite the Holy Quran. Why? They want to stick to schedule in order to make one khatam of the Holy Quran, right? And then what happens after Ramadan? After Ramadan, you see your Qur'ans are back into the shelves, back into the cupboard, and until next Ramadan comes, then the Qur'an will come out. This is the sad reality of today's time in age, Jeeves of Madinah Inshallah. But we can change that, and we need to change that, we should change that. That the Qur'an is not something which is seasonal. The Qur'an is to be recited every day on a daily basis, because it brings barakah. The same Qur'an that you recite today, the same Qur'an is going to intercede for you on the day of Qiyamah. The same Qur'an will help you in your qabr and on the day of Qiyamah as well. You read Surah Mulk every night, you'll be saved from the azab of the qabr, you'll be protected from the punishments of the qabr. And subhanAllah, in Da'wat Islam, alhamdulillah, every day after Salatul Isha, Surah Mulk is recited at our manaqibs. Alhamdulillah. And with that, everyone is listening, they're all getting the reward of it. And inshallah, we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are granted protection from the azab of the qabr. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is the recitation of the Holy Quran, Jeeves of Madinah Channel, is a must that we should recite, right? At least in the morning, start your day. Instead of scrolling, as soon as you wake up, you put your phone on and you're scrolling through social media, instead of doing that, rather wake up, make wudu, perform Salatul Fajr, and turn the pages of the Holy Quran, look in the Holy Quran, and that will grant you so much of barakah. It will actually, you know, it's mentioned that when you look at the Holy Quran, it improves your eyesight as well. Subhanallah, subhanallah, for each letter that you recite the Holy Quran, you are granted 10 rewards. And the hadith mentions, the summary of the hadith mentions that alif, lam, meem is not one letter. Rather, alif is one letter. Lam is one letter. Meem is one letter. Already the person has 30 rewards. Subhanallah. Imagine a person reciting one page of the Holy Quran every single day. For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to show off and to go out and then now to publicize it, to publicize it and to announce it. No. But solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person reads the Holy Quran. And minimum, 3 verses of the Holy Quran per day. Minimum 3 verses of the Holy Quran with its translation from Kanzul Iman, which is available in English, alhamdulillah, by our beloved marhum Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, rahimahullah. And tafsir together with that. So you're reading 3 verses of the Holy Quran, then you're reading the translation of the Holy Quran from Kanzul Iman, and then you have the commentary, the tafsir of the Holy Quran, subhanAllah. And the English tafsir is available as well, mashallah, tafsir Miftahul Ihsan by Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, rahmatullah alayhi, subhanAllah. So it's there, Jeeves of Madinah Channel. It's just for you and I to make that effort, to take that step and to recite the Holy Quran. The day you do that, you would see nur, you would see your home being illuminated. You would find peace and sukoon and tranquility in your home. Yes, you would see barakah in your sustenance, you would see barakah in your rizq. You would find yourself at ease, you would find yourself at peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, due to the barakah of reciting the Holy Quran. And when you recite the Holy Quran, when it becomes your habit to always recite the Holy Quran, your intellect remains safe. Even if you're old, your intellect remains fresh. Why? Because this is the impact that the Holy Quran has. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So let us take this beautiful characteristic from Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He loved the recitation of the Holy Quran. He loved the Quran. And subhanAllah, he acted upon the Quran. So we should learn how to recite the Holy Quran, right? We should act upon the Holy Quran, the teachings of the Holy Quran, and we should teach it to others as well, inshallah. When we do this, and subhanAllah, you would see a very, very major change, a positive major change in your life, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, for now, we do have a very beautiful Quran In the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm sure is going to rejuvenate our hearts and minds and bodies and soul, in the love of Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us go forward and listen to this melodious kalam, and thereafter we will be back to continue with our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the blessed characteristics of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya, maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya,
jab ishara ho gaya, jab ishara ho gaya, matlab hamara ho gaya,
maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya, maut ye matlab tumhara har ishara ho gaya,
डूब तो काया नबी कहते ही बेड़ा पार था, डूब तो काया नबी कहते ही बेड़ा पार था, डूब तो काया नबी कहते ही बेड़ा पार था, गम किनारे हो गए पैदा किनारा हो गया, गम किनारे हो गए पैदा किनारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, मतलब हमारा हो गया,
मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया, मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया,
तेरी तलअत से जमी के जर्रे महपारे बने, तेरी तलअत से जमी के जर्रे महपारे बने, तेरी तलवत से जमी के जर्रे महपारे बने, तेरी हैबत से फलक का महद पारा हो गया, तेरी हैबत से फलक का महद पारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, मतलब हमारा हो गया,
मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया, मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया,
यूं तो सब पैदा हुए गए आप ही के वास्ते, यूं तो सब पैदा हुए गए आप ही के वास्ते, यूं तो सब पैदा हुए गए आप ही के वास्ते, किस्मत उसकी है जिसे कह दो हमारा हो गया, किस्मत उसकी है जिसे कह दो हमारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, मतलब हमारा हो गया,
मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया, मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया,
तेरे साने से कोई पूछे तेरा हुस्नो जमाल, तेरे साने से कोई पूछे तेरा हुस्नो जमाल, तेरे साने से कोई पूछे तेरा हुस्नो जमाल, खुद बनाया और बनाकर खुद ही प्यारा हो गया, खुद बनाया और बनाकर खुद ही प्यारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, मतलब हमारा हो गया,
मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया, मौत ये मतलब तुम्हारा हर इशारा हो गया,
तू ही ने तो मिस्र में यूसुफ को यूसुफ कर दिया, तू ही ने तो मिस्र में यूसुफ को यूसुफ कर दिया, तू ही ने तो मिस्र में यूसुफ को यूसुफ कर दिया, तू ही तो याकूब की आंखों का तारा हो गया, तू ही तो याकूब की आंखों का तारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, जब इशारा हो गया, मतलब हमारा हो گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الحمدللہ ویری بیوٹیفل کلام ان دی پریزز اف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی گرانٹ اس آل دی کمپلیٹ لو فور ہز بیلوڈ حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آمین یا رب العالمین الحمدللہ کمنگ بیک ٹو اور ٹاپک اف ڈسکشن ان وچ وی آر ڈسکسنگ دی بلیس کریکٹرسٹکس سیدنا امام الحسین رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ that's why we have mentioned his adherence to the sharia subhanallah even in the midst of the battle he was still steadfast and firm on the sharia and after that we have mentioned also his love for the holy quran how he would always recite the holy quran subhanallah and how he would act upon the holy quran and how he would teach it to others as well now moving forward we see another prominent aspect of the blessed life of Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was his profound love for the sunnah. Now he deeply cherished following his beloved grandfather the holy prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopting his habits and trying to resemble him as much as possible. Now Sayyidina Sufyan rahimahullah says that I asked Ubaydullah rahimahullah have you had the honor of seeing Imam al-Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and he replied yes I have he says when I had the honor of seeing him he had applied henna to his blessed hair and beard but he had intentionally left a few hairs in front of his blessed beard white so he says that in my view he left these hairs white in emulation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had a few white hairs at the front of his blessed beard. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So Sayyidina Imam al-Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the grandson of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His physical appearance already resembled that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alongside this, he would ensure that his habits and manners also mirrored those of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, the tailor of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, from whom he had his clothes stitched, says that he asked Imam al-Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, should I keep the length of the garment down to the feet? And Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said no. Then he said, the tailor asked, should I let it fall below the ankles? Imam al-Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعَبَيْنِ فِي النَّارِ meaning the cloth that hangs below the ankles is in the fire. So, these are from Adhanishram, we see that It's clear that Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a strict adherent of the Sunnah. And the Sunnah regarding clothing is that the lower garment should remain above the ankles. And Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu observed this strictly. Now, those who claim to love Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu should reflect upon their own attire. Do we observe the Sunnah in our clothing? Or do we follow modern fashion? Is an Imam al-Sharif adorned on our heads according to the Sunnah or not? Is our lower garment above the ankle? Or due to an excessive love for modern fashion, is it hanging below the ankles? You know, fashion is prevalent in this era. Let alone observing the sunnahs in walking, sitting, eating, drinking, or dressing. Many people are not even aware of this sunnah. Right? SubhanAllah. So, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة. He who loves my sunnah indeed loves me, and he who loves me will be with me in Jannah. SubhanAllah. So from here we see the Yusuf Madani, you know, the lesson that we derive is that we too should follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, because there is wisdom behind following the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Drinking water. Let's take that for an example. You can drink, if someone, we see most people, they would drink while standing. But the sunnah is what? The sunnah is to sit and drink. Some people may just gulp down the water in one sip. But the sunnah is what? You take three sips, three breaths. That is the sunnah. And subhanAllah, you see the hikmat, the wisdom behind it scientifically is that when, if you drink in one gulp, right, you're applying a lot of pressure on your kidneys. When you drink water sitting and in three sips, three breaths, then you are actually applying ease to your kidneys. You aren't applying pressure to your kidneys. So subhanAllah, we see a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah actually beautifies a person. Yes, the sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautifies a person, right? The fard is to cover oneself for a male. It's to cover for a man, to cover himself from the navel to the below the knees, right? And if he's got that covered, he's okay. But not so appealing. And the sunnah is what? SubhanAllah. To fully cover yourself. Alhamdulillah. So we see the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifies the appearance of a person. And like that, if we look throughout our lives, subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always smile. It is a sunnah to smile. So we too, we should also be, you know, people who are of a smiling nature. Because when you smile, it already brings a positive impact on the other person, on other people. They look at you and they would feel the sense of positivity emanating from you. And you, by smiling, you're making others happy. You're bringing a smile on another person's face. And look at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, smiling, that through smiling, you know, problems are solved. Through smiling, quarrels are resolved. Through smiling, there is unity, there is peace, there is harmony. This is one sunnah. And if you look at other sunnahs as well, eating, right? Eating, eat with three fingers. Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do you eat with three fingers? So that we could put less quantity of food into our mouth and we can chew it nicely and then swallow it, and we give our digestive system a chance to breathe, compared to taking the whole food in your hand and just shoving it in your mouth, and you can't, your cheeks are popping out because of the amount of food that the person put in his mouth, and then he's trying to chew, and because he's rushing to eat, he's just swallowing it, hardly chewing anything, and like that is, the next morsel is already in the palm of his hand, ready to go down his throat. Little do people realize that that's causing harm to one's digestive system. So this is another hikmah and wisdom behind the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he has taught us that, you know, one third should be for water, another for food, and another for air, right? And you eat less, it is better for you, it is better for your health, compared to overeating, which leads to a person being lethargic, a person being lazy. So this is the wisdom of the Eternal behind following the Sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We came to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so let us also follow in the beautiful footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by adhering to his sunnahs. Now, we see that sometimes people ask, the childhood of Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu is described, and then the event of Karbala follows. But what did he do during the years of his blessed life in between? What was that part of his blessed life like? SubhanAllah, during his youth, and the approximately 46 years of his blessed life, he sought sacred knowledge, and he used to teach sacred knowledge in the masjid. He used to deliver lectures in al-Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. A formal session would be held. The students would attend it. They would learn knowledge of the deen from the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, once someone asked Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that where can one have the honor of seeing Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Now, understand and look at the love, the reverence, and the sentiments of Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu held for Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, go to al-Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. There you will see a circle, a halqa, where people are sitting with such composure and tranquility as if, you know, birds were perched upon their heads. That halqa, that circle belongs to Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, subhanAllah, this is Imam al-Husayn. He used to teach knowledge of deen in the masjid. Right? So we should show determination. And this was from amongst his beautiful and best characteristics, is that he sought sacred knowledge, and he would impart that to others as well. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So, if you can deliver dars, right, then become a teacher. Otherwise, be a listener. And inshallah, you will get the opportunity to learn sacred knowledge. You will receive the reward for sitting in the masjid for that duration. Right? You'll be blessed with sitting in righteous company. Now, if you walk from home, if you drive from home with the intention of participating in a dars, then you'll receive the reward for walking on the path of knowledge, the entire creation. Even the fish in the sea will pray for you, inshallah. SubhanAllah. So, knowledge, inshallah, is something that we also need to implement in our life. We also need to seek knowledge of deen, because this is what is going to empower us. Right? We get empowered, we get enlightened by learning knowledge of the deen, then we can empower others. Others will become enlightened, subhanAllah. And knowledge is something that will benefit you, not only in this world. Knowledge of deen will benefit you in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter as well. Alhamdulillah. For now, Deeds of Madani Channel, we do have a very beautiful piece of advice as well, a very beautiful nasiha. Let us go forward and listen to this. And once we are back, we will conclude with our today's topic of discussion, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in the Holy Quran, translation of Quran Kanzul Iman, and let there be a group amongst you who invites towards goodness and commands what is good and forbids what is evil. It is they who are the successful ones? Commenting on this ayah, a renowned commentator of the Holy Quran, a great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated in the book Tafsir-e-Naimi, volume 4, page 72, O Muslims, there should be one such movement amongst you, or you have to launch one such movement on permanent basis that calls all the impious people towards righteousness, the disbelievers towards Islamic faith, the transgressors towards piety, the heedless towards awareness, the ignorant toward knowledge of Allah and Islam, and the reserved ones towards the pleasure of the divine. Similarly, this movement ought to enforce correct beliefs, good manners and good deeds by preaching, by writings, physically, strictly, softly, and forcefully. Further, this movement should prevent people from false beliefs, ill manners, bad deeds, evil intentions, and evil thoughts by tongue and heart, by writing, and even by force, as per one's authority. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has further stated, all the Muslims are preachers. It is obligatory for all of them to command people to do righteous deeds and prevent them from evil ones wherever Sharia has declared it wajib for them. In his commentary, the Honorable Mufti rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has also quoted the following hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, that is, convey on my behalf, even if only one ayah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have, Alhamdulillah, mentioned the beautiful characteristics of Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Of course, the Amu, but this is what we have mentioned thus far. And we see, just before we can conclude, that Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a devout worshipper. You know, he had taqwa, he was pious. And Allama Ibn Athir al-Jazari rahimahullah says that Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would offer salah abundantly, he would keep fast, he would perform hajj, he would give charity, and he would perform every good deed. Allahu Akbar. And it's also narrated regarding Sayyidina Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he performed 25 hajj pilgrimages on foot. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love for Imam al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and allow us, grant us the ability to follow in his footsteps. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear, the timeless message forever clear, the timeless message, the timeless message.